first for me, but I do feel the need to apologize. The subject matter tonight, I will try to make it as optimistic as possible, and there is a happy ending, is somewhat depressing, and also somewhat graphic and even painful, and I do feel badly about that, but it is very, very important. There's no way around it, and you know, we always talk about the famous statement of Chazal, and justly famous, that everything that's written is written for a reason. It's because these are things that don't just belong to history, but really are very relevant and have recurred. A lot of what we're going to learn about tonight is a major part of the Kinos on Tisha B'Av. It's part of Chazal's description of Chorban Bayis Sheni, much later stage of history than we're dealing with right now, the period of Bayis Rishon. But all that being said, it's very difficult, very, very painful. I want to begin actually with the passage in the Tochacha, which is the background for what we're going to learn tonight. I subtitled the Shir Desperation because it really is perhaps the most desperate image that we have in all of the Torah. The Tochacha says, and of course the Ramban explains that this is really talking about Chorban Bayis Sheni, but there are elements here that are relevant to Bayis Rishon as well. The Torah tells us, Yisa Adonai Alecha Goy Meirachok Mikzei Haaretz Kasher Yideh Hanasher Goy Asher Lo Sishma Lashono. Will be attacked by a brazen enemy from a distance. Goyaz panim asher lo yisaf panim lezaken v'nar lo yachon. It's very difficult for us right now to read those words. Asher lo yisaf panim lezaken v'nar lo yachon. A kind of cruelty to the elderly and to the young. V'achal fri v'emtecha friad maschad hishamidach. Will destroy your livestock and your agriculture. Asher lo yashir lecha dagan tirosh v'yitzar shkalafecha v'ashtros tunachad avido osach. And these are the conditions of famine that will be created. Again, very, very difficult for us. The walls, the fences that you trusted in, the fortresses that you built for yourselves will come crashing down. It'll all have been a mirage. Again, you read these things and you realize how Asherat haboteach b'hen, you were so sure. B'chol artzecha v'etzar lecha b'chol sherecha b'chol artzecha asher nasan Hashem elkech alach. And in those conditions of utter desperation, v'achal tefrivit necha b'sar b'necha v'nosecha asher nasan lecha Hashem elkech b'matzor v'matzok asher yatzik l'choy v'echa. When the enemy lays siege and there's very little food to begin with, and the matzor and the matzok, under the siege and the duress, so there will be not only the degradation of cannibalism of one's own children. Harish harach becha, a person of edelkeit, a person of gentility. V'he'anog me'od, person of great refinement. This is a person of great generosity of spirit, of great refinement, and yet under these conditions, this is multiple levels of degradation, he'll be unwilling to share and to sustain others from this flesh. And perhaps even more dramatically, harakavicha, a woman of great compassion, softness, v'hanuga asher lo nistach afragla hatzegal haaretz mehis aneg umeroch, who is so gentle and refined that her foot barely even touches the ground when she walks. Teirayna beish cheka v'yivna v'vita uveshol yasa hayotzeis mibein ragla v'vna asher teled kisochim b'choser kol basaser. And she will consume, lo aleinu, her own children, but she will do so in a way that is not in keeping with her generosity of spirit and character. So instead of, I don't know what to say. It's a form of generosity, right? That people are starving, so if she's already eating her own children, shelo neida, you know, that she should at least share that with others. But she'd be unwilling to do so. And again, the words in the Chumash that recur here are matzor v'matzok. Matzor is the physical siege, the process of being encircled. The matzok, as we say, tsara v'tzuka. The matzok is really a condition of psychological duress that results from that, where boundaries that people never conceived that they could cross will be crossed. And here in two senses, of course. Number one, with respect to the very graphic images that we're discussing. And number two, with respect to the selfishness, lack of generosity. That's what the Torah is describing. It's two things at once. It would be unimaginable that this person would ever act selfishly under other circumstances. It would be unimaginable to think about them consuming their own children. And these things are b'matzor v'matzok, they're coming together. So previously we had seen last week that Elisha, who takes away vision and restores the vision, sends the Gidudei Aram back home. And Aram, as we already foreshadowed, changes tack and launches a general war instead of trying to simply assassinate the Melech Shomron, Yehoram, or trying to engage in these kinds of, you know, skirmishes, you know, asymmetrical war. So this is just general war. Every soldier in the army. Vayaal, this is the Lashon Yachid. He personally went up. Vayatzar al Shomron. And this is the Matzor. This is the siege. Vayhi Rav Gadol b'Shomron. And there was a terrible famine. Vihinei Tsarim Aleha. And the siege became tighter and tighter. Ad hayos rosh chamor bishmonim kesef, v'rova akav divyonim b'chamisha chasef. We're given some information about what the markets, you know, were like in these conditions. Let's just take one example. Rosh chamor. Now, I think under normal circumstances, this would not be considered a particularly attractive element. That would be for shmonim kesef. And the waste of yonim, a very small amount, rova hakav, a quarter of a kav, was 5 pieces of kesef. So people were eating animal waste, people were eating donkey heads. This is, people are starving to death. And the king of Israel is going on a tour, sort of a military tour, seeing the wall, seeing the siege conditions. And this is the second time we've encountered an Isha Tzoekes in Sefer Melachim. Anybody remember the first time? A woman who cries out. This is an important comparison because, you know, we thought it was bad then. Right? In that situation, we had great compassion for this woman who screams out to Elisha that her sons are going to be taken away by the creditor. But this is like incomparably worse. And she screams out, Hoshia Adoni HaMelech. Vayomer, in his response, deep, deep bitterness, Al Yoshiech Adonai Me'ayin Oshiech Hamin HaGoren Omin HaYakev. As if God is not helping us, from where will I help you? Is there wheat in the threshing floor? Is there wine in the press? And then the Melech sort of follows up after this very bitter remark. Vayomer lo HaMelech Malach. What is it anyway? Vatomer Hayisha Azos Amrai Lai Tni Azbneich Venochlanu Hayom Ve'ezbini Nochal Machar. Vanevashel is beneath in Ochlehu. Vaomari leha bayom haacher, tni es benech vinochlanu, vatachbi es bina. So the situation is awful. So the woman says, oh, this is what happened. I was deceived. A woman came to me and said, let's make an arrangement for our survival. On the first day, it doesn't necessarily have to be consecutive days, you give over your son, we'll kill him and we'll eat him together, and then we'll do the same with mine. You know, v'kach hava, so the first part of the Tanai was kept, and this woman handed over her son, and they consumed him. And then this woman, you know, went to the other woman and said, okay, so now it's your turn. And she hit her son. It's hard to know what to say. So on the one hand, it's unfair. On the other hand, as all the mefarshim know, what exactly is the king to do, right? So it's like saying, no, like justice requires that we kill this kid, and you'll split him the way that you did the first one. But of course, the subtext is even, and this is why I apologize, people are going to sign off. They're just, I've had enough. It's 8:17, I've had enough. There's a happy ending here. But what's the subtext? Remember these two women, the living child and the dead child. The Navi wants us to understand something very deeply.
Shlomo HaMelech revisited.
See, Effie, you see how far we've fallen. Right? It's not the Chachma of Shlomo. It's not a scenario where there was a tragedy, there was a sudden infant death. This is before the back to sleep movement. And you know, one child, it's very sad, but you know, we're not talking cannibalism. So here you have that parallel, right? One of the women feels very badly because her son is dead, the other one is alive, but you can't. Right? So you have a parallel, but it's incomparably worse. It's beyond awful.
But she was willing to kill her child. That she cared more about herself than about her child. That's just not something that we can comprehend. We would sacrifice ourselves for our kid. And she was selfish and was willing to give up her kid.
You know, it's interesting, Eva, you know, that section that we read from the Torah at the beginning. I can't disagree with you. But at the same time, we can't judge it either, right? You know, when there's starvation, it's just unimaginable. And that's, to get back to those words, b'matzor v'matzok. The matzor is a siege. The matzok is a psychological condition. People are starving to death. And all of a sudden, the unimaginable becomes, you know, imaginable. Of course, nobody morally can disagree with you. And at the same time, these things do happen. And it, you know, and it happened. So it's a despairing kind of a thing to contemplate.
Is it possible that the children were already dead?
Right. Kathy, in a way, that's merciful, right? Like, it would be a much more merciful thing to think about.
Yeah, then the second mother is hoarding her food.
Right. So that is debated, actually, amongst the Rishonim. I spent a lot of time thinking about that. I think because I found it somewhat comforting to think at least they weren't killing them and then consuming them. I mean, this is, you know, it's bad enough to think about. But just I want to go back to the Pesukim, you know, and again, the Rishonim struggle with it, so I think, you know, you could go either way. But I'll tell you why that I'm a little skeptical, even though I wish it were true. So he says, Malach, right? Vatomer Isha Zos, Amrei Lai, Tinias Benech Venochano Hayom, Ves Beni Nochal Machar. So, could be at this point, I would say it's like 50-50, that they're living or dead. It's hard to know. It's really hard to know.
I wouldn't say Tini Beni. Why would they have to swap children if they're both dead?
Well, the I guess the thought would be is that there'd be like more food. Again, I don't know the relative sizes of the children. You know, like I guess this is getting very ghastly. But so here's the part, Kathy, that I'm like it makes me a little skeptical, and I'm curious to hear your reaction. Vanevashel is beneven ochleu. And she hides her child. So what you're saying, again, the Mefarshim consider it like hoarding the food, but Vatachbi es bina never appears in Tanakh other than with a living child or a living entity. So it sounds to me like the worst scenario that they're actually. Now again, and this is sort of getting back to Eva's point. And again, please forgive me, but under starvation conditions, children will typically die first. So what, you know, and the elderly and the like, but so. I don't want to say it was an act of compassion because Eva's right to say that there's, you know, a selfishness here that we talked about at the beginning, but you could see somebody wanting their child not to suffer, is all I'm saying. All right, so it's really, you know, horrific. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, sorry, I was saying something. Okay, so Vayhi Chishmo HaMelech has Divrei Aisha Vayikras Begadav V'hu Over Al HaChoma Vayar HaAm V'nei HaSak Al B'Saro Mibayis. So the king is can't respond. And he says nothing. He just tears his clothes. It's just, you know, it's, what can you do other than tear Kriya on news like that? And he's passing by the choma, he's passing by the wall, like we said. And then the soldiers are able to see, and the people as well, that underneath his royal vestments, he's actually wearing sack. You know, it's Megillah time, right? Sack va'efer yutzal rabim. That there's this spirit of contrition. So he doesn't really respond to her, but he then determines, Vayomer kol yasal Elohim v'chol yosifim yamod rosh Elisha ben Shafar alav hayom. He's going to kill Elisha. And here there's an absolute consensus that the basis for striking out against Elisha is, why isn't Elisha davening for the Jewish people? Elisha yoshev beveso v'azkenim yoshev mito v'yishlach ish milfanav v'tarim yavo hamalach ilav v'hu amar l'zakenim. Remember, this sort of like a repeat of what happened with Melech Aram, is Elisha knows everything before it happens. So he says, harisam ki shalach ben hamiratzeah chazeh l'hasiris roshi. This son of a murderer, he's obviously referring to Yehoram's father Achav, but I want to get to that image. The son of the murderer wants to come kill me. Ru kevo hamalach, when he sends his messenger to come get me, sigru hadalas ulachatz demoso badalas, right? I want you to close the door and hold him at the door. Halo kol ragli adonav acharav, because the king is coming after him and I want to deal straight with the king. Odenu medaver imam, v'nei hamalach yored ilav, v'yamre hinei zos hara meis Hashem ma'ochiel Lahashem ode. And he calls out that this terrible, catastrophic situation to befall the Jewish people is God's doing. And what can one petition God for at the moment? There's some debate. Was this the Malach who said it? Was it Elisha that said it? To me, it makes the most sense to say that Elisha said it, in light of the fact that, you know, he's rebutting the claim that he has anything to do with this, and, like, you know, he has volition over this, that, you know, this is something that was brought about by God for all the sins of Shomron. And chief amongst them, of course, is the Shvichos Damim. So let's talk about this appellation. It's no compliment, but he's referring to Yehoram as the Ben Hamiratzeach, the son of the murderer. So what do you think Elisha is alluding to here? Obviously, he's clearly, you know, it's a repeat of the Eliyahu narrative, right? When Eliyahu, during the drought, is seen by Achav, and Achav says to him, Hatazeh Ucher Yisrael, you are the one who caused the great scourge of Israel. And, you know, Eliyahu responds, Lo acharti es Yisrael ki imata v'chol beis avicha, right? So it's literally a repeat of that. But what's the imagery here of the Ben Hamiratzeach? Yeah, Effie, go ahead. Effie, then Ruthie. So, what does Elisha seek to, let's say, conjure by referencing Achav, the previous generation, as a rotzeach?
Go ahead.
Whoever
was speaking.
Oh, go ahead, Effie. Go ahead. Sorry, I didn't hear.
I mean, he's sort of, he can't blame Elisha for this. He himself having blood on his hands through his family. But something along those lines, but I don't quite see something all the way.
Okay, no, so I think this is very, very important, that there's a specific, it seems to me anyway, there's a very specific incident that he's referencing. Right, and again, you have this theme of parents and children. The women were consuming their children. He's the Ben Hamiratzeach. He's the son of the murderer. I have a very strong impression, though I can't prove it, that Elisha is referring to one specific incident. Some of the Rishonim agree, but I this is my very strong... What was... I mean, Achav was, and Izebel were involved in many, many murders. You know, but there's one that I think stands out for its cruelty, for its callousness.
For the Sedev, I can't remember the name of the guy whose field he wanted.
Kerem Nevot. Okay, good. Okay. So Effie, you got there. So what's the Kerem Nevos connection? Of course, Nevos is brutally murdered in the worst possible circumstances.
I don't see the relationship on this in this incident.
Why would Nevos not give Achav his Kerem?
He wanted it for himself.
Okay.
I mean, Achav had no right to it.
It was in the family.
Exactly. Remember he says, Chalilali? This is my connection to my parents and those who came before them and before them. Nachalas Avosai. There's a certain basic fabric of society. And Achav, at Izebel's behest, but the Ben HaMiratzeach says, you, Yehoram, are presiding over a catastrophe where the most basic... And Eva, this is what you were speaking to. The most basic element within any social framework. Parents love their children, protect their children, sacrifice for their children. The parent-child bond. And now that has collapsed in this, you know, totally... you know, brutal and, you know, catastrophic way. But Yehoram, you turn against me as if I'm the one who's responsible. You are the Ben HaMiratzeach. Your father took somebody who sought nothing other than to respect his family heritage, respect his father, respect his family. And for that, you killed him brutally. Stoned him to death. This is the society that you've created. This is not my doing. This is the work of your family. That's what Shomron has become. B'matzor u'b'matzok. Let me go one further point. It's interesting that Elisha's in this house with his Akenim, with his newfound students, you know, talked about a lot with Gehazi. And what does he say to do? And I think this is so, so critical. It takes us back to one of the earlier reference points. He says, close the door, right? Keep the door locked. Close the door. Where do we see that image? Where was that so important? Two cases where Elisha saved parents and children, right? Remember the one we already referenced?
He was going to revive the baby.
Right. Exactly. Dr. Shiss just mentioned it, right? The Sagar Tadelet Badech Uvad Banayich, right? So, Elisha has spent you know, his career protecting parents and children. The woman who was going to lose her two children because she had the great debt, the Eishes Ovadia. And then subsequently, the Isha HaShunamis and her child. That closed door is an image where, I don't think it's just that Elisha wants to keep the king's emissary out, but he says, look, I've done what I can in this society to protect parents and children, and you, the Ben HaMeratzeach, who have no regard for that, so now we have the ultimate calamity of parents eating their children. Kathy might be right, maybe they're already dead, I don't know. You know, to whatever, if you could say that makes it better, I don't know. I don't know, it's bad. You know, so I think the idea is that Elisha has done all that he possibly could. But Shomron is what it has become. Okay, I know that was all very rough. So here's as promised. Okay, it's a little bit of an upbeat note here. So Vayomer Elisha, so Elisha says to Yehoram, as he's coming down, Shimbud var Hashem, Kamar Hashem, Kais Machar. Sola says the finest flower of Beshekel. Remember, the donkey head was 80 times that. Visasayim Saorim Beshekel, and twice that amount of Saorim. Saorim is for animals. Bishar Shomron, in the marketplaces of Shomron. It's like saying, you know, I don't know. Each American household tomorrow will wake up to a $250,000 check on their doorsteps. So Bayana Shalisha Shalamelach Nishan al Yado, so the personal attendant of the Melech can't restrain himself, and he says to Elisha, Asisha Lokim Vayomer Hine Hashem Osar Bos Pashamayim, says if God is going to, you know, create literally delivery hatches in the heavens. You know, if God is going to, we would put it in 21st century terms, if God would send a fleet of Amazon trucks, haya davar haza, could this even be imaginable? So Elisha says, vayomer hincha roa beinacha, you'll see it all, umisham lo sochel, and you're not going to benefit from it. But you'll see it. I just wanted to conclude by noting this is now even discounting the story of the Shunamis as well as the Isha HaChasim and the Shevnei HaNevi'im. This is now the third time that Elisha is feeding people or associated with feeding people. The first time, of course, when Eliyahu finds him in the Tzemet Bakar. Previously, remember, we talked about the poisoned foods that he is able to, you know, make non-poisonous, and now here as well, Elisha's providing, going to be, or at least God will provide, but Elisha's, you know, nevuah talks about the. Kind of like a resurrection, which is very consistent with the theme of Tchias HaMesim in the life of Elisha. Which that's the positive. Let me just conclude by noting the following. Elisha very famously had asked Eliyahu for Pishnayim Beruchacha, double the prophetic spirit. And the Tchias HaMesim that we've talked about so far has to do with, you know, at the individual level. The, Ben Hashunamis, etc. But this, such as it is really like a national Tchiyas HaMesim. Shomron is as close to dead as you can possibly be. I mean, there are a lot of dead people, but there's nothing to eat. The Rosh Chamor is Boshmonim Shekel. The waste of the Yonim is for 5 shekel. So let's try to bear that in mind. A collective, even a national Tchiyas HaMesim. One